Okay. So could you introduce yourself and tell me your name, where you're from, and when you were born?
Okay. My name is Dave McKay. I guess I'm mostly from West Virginia. I was born in 1946. We got here to the state in, I think I was probably 3 or 4 years old when we first showed up in West Virginia.
Where'd you come from?
New York, where my dad came back from World War II. He lived there for a while. I was actually born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
So I don't remember any of that part.
Yeah. could you tell me a little bit about your family background?
Let's see. Dad was a World War II vet. He and Mom got married just before he got shipped off for D-Day out of Ohio. My grandmother raised my dad and was influenced him in the get into the restaurant business because she was managed restaurants during the Depression in New York City and in Cleveland. She was an Schraff's executive. And I think that's what got him eventually when he came back from World War II and got into selling food. He was worked for Sexton on a route. And then the King Tut was on his route, and he eventually bought it from the previous owner, who was Tutwiler. And so my history is kind of following along with the family. I started school down in Lorona, West Virginia, a two-room country school. And came up to Beckley when I was in the sixth grade and went to Woodrow, and then Dad sent me off to Stanton Military Academy, and then I ended up at Colorado State and finally at CU, Colorado, University of Colorado.
And what about your family these days?
I'm married to Michelle. I've been married for 33 years. Don't quote me on plus or minus one. We met in Colorado when I was there, and she also worked for AT&T. And so I started working for AT&T after I got out of the Air Force after Vietnam. And we've managed to get transferred together around Colorado, California, and then finally to Atlanta. And that's where we reside now. We have one daughter, Heather. I have a son from a previous marriage, David Jr. He's in Colorado. And a granddaughter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they have any interest in continuing the business?
Not a single one of them. Unfortunately, I also have two brothers and two stepbrothers. I have a stepbrother who is a partial owner of this business, but he works for a little general in the maintenance side. And my other brothers are all IT guys, as is my son. And my daughter is a chemist. So none of them really have anything to do with the restaurant industry, and neither did I. And until Dad retired, and I found out that I retired, and he dumped the business on me.
So did you have any choice in the matter?
Not a one. One of my loudmouth brothers told him that I'd retired, and I think I had 4 days of retirement from AT&T, and he called me up and says, "Here, it's yours. And it's got a problem. Go fix it."
But I guess you could have sold it.
Could have. Probably the reason, the two reasons we didn't. One, the people in town here really liked the place. And we kind of wanted to keep the staff going. I don't know why it bothers me, but we like to keep them employed.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing we could do for them.
Right.
So, you know, that's really the two big reasons.
So there were a lot of existing employees here that sort of inherited?
Yeah, so about half of the day shift folks were here when I picked it up in 2004, and several of the night shift folks were here too. We had a curb girl who just passed away after having 40 years here, and my day shift manager will have 40 years in November.
Wow,
so,
a lot of time.
Yeah.
What do you think the importance is for Beckley and the surrounding area? I mean, employment for sure.
Well, yeah, we keep at least 23 people employed. The food here we keep is just as inexpensive as we can, and that helps a lot of pocketbooks. And we keep it the same. The menus were created by my dad and my grandmother, and some of them based off the 1930s books that she kept on menus. And so we've kept that going. People don't like a whole lot of change. We've added things to the menus over years. We seldom subtract stuff, so we have a pretty wide menu that everybody can come here and come here often and not have to get the same old thing. So we have a big lunch crowd. We have a big dinner crowd. About half of it's takeout now. It used to be that everybody just showed up, but now it's mostly about half of them just take something home for either lunch hour or for dinner.
Yeah, you don't see too much meatloaf sandwiches on menus these days.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things. When they designed the menu originally, and Graham had learned during the Depression to use every single tidbit. So meatloaf is an offshoot. We make hamburger every morning fresh, but we have a little bit left over that we don't use. So that turns into the meatloaf. See, so there you go. We've used a number of products, and you use them about 3 to 4 different ways. Less waste and a more interesting menu.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And you do homemade buns, homemade pies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else?
Swiss dinners are made here. The barbecue is made here. Let's see. We do soups in the winter. We make our own soups. There's things I'm not thinking about that if we can make it, we will, because that reduces the cost. And it lets us control the menu better and the food quality.
Yeah.
So we make as much as we can with the limited resources we have from space and, you know, personnel and things like that.
What's a Swiss dinner?
Swiss steak. Okay, so it's a cube steak, and then we make our own sauces that goes in it, and we'll run off a big batch of those about once a week, and then prepackage them in portions. Uh-huh. And so that when we sell one, all we have to do is warm up the prepackaged portion, and boom, you're done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And do you have a pie maker?
Yes, we do. She's on vacation this week, but Shane is my pie maker. Diane's making them this week. And we make pies fresh every morning. We make about 7 or 8 pies. We generally sell out by evening, which, you know, but it's about as many as we can make without wasting any. So.
And you do some whole pie sales as well?
Yeah, we'll sell a whole pie at least a day in advance because we put it in a different kind of pan. So if they call in at least one day in advance, we'll sell a whole pie.
And how much does this go for?
I knew you were going to ask that.
I'm a pie maker, so I understand what goes on.
Don't quote me. I think it's $11 or $12. We can check inside on the thing because I just changed the price on it.
So what was it like when you started working here?
Well, Dad paid me a quarter an hour. I just want to get the record on that because he was cheap. on the other hand, it was more, there were 3 restaurants, drive-in restaurants in town at that time. It was ours, Pete and Bob's, and Phil's.
Okay.
And for kids, the ones who were driving age, I wasn't at that time, it was kind of one of the places to hang out because we all just circle around town and drive around and then sit out someplace and the kids would all gather. And Pete and Bob's was the place to sit around and drink beer. Dad sold beer too, they all did at the time, which is no longer politically a good thing to do. But Dad decided he was going to break that and start selling more family style stuff, and he kind of ran a lot of the kids out, and that's what started the family side of the drive-in business. So as a kid working here, he made me either clean up the lot or make pizzas because they were fairly easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd ride over my back, you know, work for a few hours and then ride back home. I learned to avoid the restaurant by doing so. I didn't do that for long.
And pizza wasn't very common at that point.
There was no pizza in Beckley. Dad went to a trade show, one of these annual trade shows in Chicago, and started business with the Verga brothers, who were making pre-made pizza crusts and selling the sauce. And so he brought that back. there was one other business in town. I think it was where the Capri is now. That was also starting to get into it. But people around Beckley weren't used to pizza. So what he did is he ended up giving little slices of it away to get people to try it. And that's what introduced it around town here.
Nice.
Yep.
It's hard to imagine a time before pizza
for
me.
There was a time before pizza. There was a time before chain restaurants. There was a time before Arches.
Yeah, right.
And it was just us, you know, and a few inside restaurants here around town.
And your neon sign is still operational?
Oh, yeah. It's still operational, and it cost me a dang fortune to find people to fix neon. Yeah.
You know, I interviewed a guy in St. Albans who was a neon sign maker, and he would repair signs, but he passed away a few months ago.
Yeah. I've had to search around a couple times to find, get the neon fixed.
Yeah.
So.
But it is iconic.
Yeah, and that's why I don't want to change it. It's neon. It's different.
Yeah.
And it's a old, it's our logo.
Right. So who are your employees?
Oh, you want me to name names?
Well, you know, just talk about, you know, some employees over the years.
Well,
you don't need to name names.
Yeah, Diane, who you'll interview here, is a day shift manager. She started inside and has been inside ever since, and I'll let you tell her history. History, yeah. If you want to stay for evening shift, Judy is the evening manager, and she has a background similar to Diane's, a lot of inside work and everything, and has been here just about as long. The rest of the staff, the Curb Girls, I think both of them have at least 15 years, maybe more, here on, this is Melanie and Debbie, and they've been doing that for that whole time. The rest of the staff inside are relatively new. I think Amanda on the grill's got only 5 years. And on evening shift, Brian's got around 10 years. You may get a chance to meet him. And a lot of them are newer. We've just gone through some rotation of folks. The Curb Girls there, Kathy's been, she's relatively new at maybe 20 years of service. And the rest of them have less than that, so they can give you some stories.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So mostly women?
Mostly. I've got guys in here, but they're all new.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have Shorty. Shorty, he is, there's a reason he's Shorty. He's only about 5'2".
Uh-huh.
And Kenneth is in the back today.
Okay.
And he's new. Shorty's been around for about five or six years. So, and then on the evening shift, I have a couple of guys, three guys, mostly guys on the evening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then who are your customers and regulars?
So we have probably several classes of customers. The business folks, business around here, lunch, they're all in for a quick bite or a quick pickup. We get people from the hospital, place a lot of orders, doctor's offices. Any one of the businesses up and down the road, they're always ordering lunch next door or in here all the time. And the medical place up here, Lily's, is in here all the time. Then we have folks who've been eating here for years and years and years, some of whom are on oxygen, I might tongue-in-cheek add. But they're still coming, and they get a lot of the same thing. We know a lot of the names. At least half of the customers who call in when they give me their name, just heard from them recently, and they're here all the time.
Yeah.
And then we have people who are driving through the Beckley area, probably in an interstate going north and south,
mm-hmm.
who are hearing about us. We have pretty good reviews on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and they stop by for just curiosity.
Yeah.
So that's probably the three main classes.
Mm-hmm. Do you folks have standing orders, any regulars?
We have regulars, but they don't. They order the same thing all the time, but they don't do a standing order per se. Yeah, but we get somebody who always, and even the guys over in the sandwich bar said, "Oh, that's so and so," that kind of thing.
Great.
The Curb Girls can tell you, they spot a car and they'll just place the order before they even talk to who's in the car because they know what they're going to order.
Oh.
So there's a few of those.
Yeah, Yeah, when I saw, is it, do you have fried liver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought, oh, this place is for real.
Yeah, that's one of those we make ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, so what are the most popular items?
Hot dogs, because they're English buns, toasted on the side, top cuts. We just sell those like gangbusters. Mm-hmm. The barbecue sandwiches, they like our barbecue, are probably the two top most. The steak hoagie sandwiches are real popular. In the kitchen is that pan labor dinner we just talked about, pizza. Those are our big top items. Of course, you always still fries and things like that with everything. So.
And then how about competition and prices? How has that changed?
Well, competition, of course, has changed greatly over the years. The other drive-ins died off. And back in the early days, the chains started coming in. And of course, we evolved with the town. Back when I was a kid, everything happened downtown. And then they developed out here what we area I call Skelton, which is the Restaurant Row now. All those are sit-down restaurants. They don't seem to impact us much. The most recent opening is a Texas steak joint. I think it's Roadhouse or one of those, which is a pretty good steak joint, by the way. I was expecting to see some changes. Nope, didn't happen. So we get the type of customer who comes here is not necessarily somebody who's got time or the money to go sit in the sit-down restaurant. So we also keep the prices absolutely as low as we can. I don't take a lot of money out of this place. I don't need to. So if we can keep the prices down, we will, and it serves a segment of the society. It needs that too, despite the fact that it's good food.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about sourcing? Has that been an issue?
Sourcing is always somewhat of a headache. The guy, for people on the mic, I was just talking to one of the salesmen before you showed up, and he has been my salesman here probably 15 years. And his dad worked with my dad.
Yeah.
So that's U.S. Foods. And I have two people from U.S. Foods. They were used to be two companies. Now they're one, but I still have two salespeople. And we try and do as much locally sourced stuff as we can. So all of our meat products come from a local guy.
Oh, nice.
And breads come from the local area. To the extent I can do that, I will. It's hard to find some products, and some things get changed over the years that we have to contend with. One year a pizza company bought Verger Brothers, who made our pizza sauce, and without us knowing it, they changed the label and the formula.
Oh, wow.
And so all of a sudden my customer says, what's wrong with the pizza? And we had to figure out what was done. We had to go up that supply chain to figure out somebody changed a formula without telling anybody.
Wow.
And then we had to find products that closely matched what the basic was. And so that happens every now and then. So as the industry changes, we have to accommodate it, and sometimes we get a little surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Let's see. Is there anything you would like to add?
No. As long as people are happy with us and they need to come by, and we'll try and serve them as best we can. I'm getting a little old. We're going to have to hand this to somebody. I'm not sure whom in a few years, but we'll find somebody to try and run it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
And, your chili and slaw, is there someone who makes those for the hot dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets made here. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's on vacation. Sorry.
She's
the head cook back in the cook. But Diane can talk to you probably about okay. that just as well, because Diane made it too for a while. So when you want to talk to her, do that.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Okay.